Okay, we're back, and I hope all of you are back with us. We're ready to jump into this class about, so you're afraid of the devil and are scared of the devil and fearful of the end times. And we spent the last class talking about one reason why we're so scared of the devil is because movies and Renaissance artists and all this have painted pictures of him that we make him look so scary and so terrifying. And before it's all over with, we will get an idea of what the devil really looks like. And I promise you, it'll be far from scary. The real devil and what he really looks like. I promise you, it won't be near as scary as you thought it would be. In fact, it's not scary at all. All right, but we're not going to do that tonight. And what we're going to do is we're going to jump into some general facts about the devil and the devil from the beginning, particularly now. I do want to say that, and we're going to do this from Ezekiel 28. Most of y'all are familiar with these verses. But I do want to say that after we finish, which could be tonight or next time, and then after we finish with this portion in relationship to Ezekiel 28, that's when we're going to get into the fun. We're going to get into some amazing fun stuff that you could never imagine, really, in a seeing it from a completely different angle. It'll just, in many ways, it'll just take all the fear away. All right. So we're in Ezekiel 28, and I want to start with verse 13. Now, I do want to say that Ezekiel 28 actually starts with verse 1, and it talks about the king of Tyre, or the prince of Tyre. And I'm not going to deal with that right now. I will deal with that in the part two thing, because it's going to be kind of important that you see the difference between what Ezekiel 28, verse 1 through 12, in contrast to verses 13 through 19. So we're dealing with Ezekiel 28, verses 13 through 19. And so let's just read it, and I'll make a few comments as we go. We'll do that. And then I've got some notes that can be read to if need be. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. And let me just say this. People say, well, Ezekiel 28 is really just a prophecy against the prince of Tyre. I don't think the prince of Tyre, the guy that ruled that country at that time, has been in the Eden, the garden of God. Okay. Just, in fact, let's see, who was there? Okay, there's Adam. Okay, and there's Eve. And there's Satan. And there's God. I don't see any prince of Tyre. No prince of Tyre. All right, so this is referring to Lucifer, the devil, before he became the devil. All right. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. Now, personally, I would probably want to either go with the gold or the emerald, and you can have the carbuncle, because I have no clue what that is. It could be the most precious one of all of them. Who knows? Okay. So what we're doing is we're starting to get a picture now of before creation, if you will, certainly before Adam and Eve. The workmanship of thy tabrets, of thy pipes, was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Okay, so there are people who believe that Lucifer, before he fell, he is a cherub. It in the next verse describes him as such, think that he was the worship leader in heaven. I don't know, but it's talking about some instruments here. Certainly, if those instruments mean anything, it doesn't necessarily mean the worship leader. He could have just been like me on the guitar in the background or something, but playing an instrument only. All right, one of the things that I want you to notice is the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day you were created. This, you know, the thing to recognize about a lot of these things is that he got puffed up over had nothing to do with him. It wasn't him. It was what God put in him, and he ruined it. All right. So, on the day that thou was created. So, also with that phrase, we come to the understanding that the devil or Lucifer or the fallen angel is just another created thing by God. Just another created thing. Okay, verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. All right, so thou art. It doesn't say you're one of many or whatever. Thou art the anointed cherub. I mean, when I think of that word anointed, I think of it always in the realm of the religious world down here. You don't really go to your job and somebody says, boy, our boss is really anointed, especially if he's not even born again. So this is within that realm, the anointed cherub. I mean, people would always talk about the anointing, and they say, oh, you know, this brother's so anointed. I mean, he's like an angel of God. He's like a cherub. He's like an anointed cherub. What's he like? Lucifer? If you keep talking that way, you're going to fall too. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Okay, so that sounds like the as it were, cherubs that are over the Ark of the Covenant that are covering. And I have set thee so. So there it is again. It is God doing this. God did this. He didn't work his way up through the angelic workers to become, you know, the hot shot of them all. God did this. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Doesn't that sound kind of cool? Not to me. It sounds like some sort of shama from India walking on hot coals of fire and going, yes, see, I'm of God. I'm not getting burnt. Walking up and down on stones of fire doesn't really, like, I hope I get to do that when I get to heaven or something. verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. So there's the word created again. And when we say perfect, you have to realize that that doesn't mean incorruptible. He wasn't incorruptible because he did become corruptible. Adam and Eve weren't created perfect. They were created innocent. If they were perfect, then you couldn't fall, as it were. And then you have to consider really what might be the meaning of that, perfect maybe to God, as far as what God made. This is what I wanted. This is perfect. Can you believe that God could make something perfectly what he wanted and then it goes back on that or perverts that for their own glory. All right, and verse 15 again, thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. And that's a weird phraseology to me there, the structure of that, till iniquity was found in you, as if it had been in there and God walked up one day and said, what's that? No, I mean, that's kind of weird. It's like, what is that? That's not something I've made. I didn't create that. I didn't create that to be in you. Perfect in the day that thou was created until iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Some of you probably remember the use of the word violence when I shared in Ireland about Noah. Anybody remember that? And it's not just that he walks around with a machete and wants to cut everybody's arms off or whatever. And thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane, which means secular. I know that most people have another definition of that, but in the Bible, the word profane means you're no longer in the realm of the spiritual. You're just secular in your being. I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And it talked about being able to walk. Let's see, in verse 14 it says, thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. So now he's going to be cast out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart, and so here we are. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Okay? And when we get into part two of this, which will be a lot more serious than the fun we will be having after we finish this part, it's really gonna, these scriptures here and the ones in Luke 14 gonna take on a new meaning altogether. Verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And here is really the verse that I was talking about, where you really get a look at the devil, and he's deceived everybody, and he's done all this stuff, and everybody's seen him as this great, powerful monster, as it were, and this is what the Lord will do. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee, and all that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Actually, there's a scripture in Isaiah 14 that goes along with this that we're not going to cover quite yet. All right. We're actually almost 20 minutes in, except for we got a little bit of a late start, did we? Yeah. All right. So I'm just going to read a little bit of my notes. But so this first part is, I want to compare in your mind, for you to be able to start seeing things. I know not everybody, is very visual, but I think it's important in some things to visualize certain things, such as the environment that Lucifer was in compared to the environment that Adam and Eve was in. All right, so in these verses, we're given a glimpse of part of the story of God and Lucifer, presumably before the creation of Adam and Eve. In Genesis, we're given a general description of the environment that Adam and Eve were introduced to at the beginning, but in Ezekiel 28, 8 pertaining to Lucifer, we're given a quite different environment that Lucifer was introduced into at his creation and before the fall. Okay, so let's just look at it. You've heard, we've read the verses. There's nothing in that picture of the mountain of God or the stones of fire or anything that is dangerous or ominous or anything like that. But we are given in the Garden of Eden, we're given, number one, there's a serpent in there, right? And there's also a tree of knowledge of good and evil right from the start. Okay? They're in there. And yet, Satan fell on his own accord. And Adam and Eve, particularly Eve, was deceived. Okay? Some of the examples are precious stones, that was his covering, the sardis of those stones, and the tabreth and the pipes, all of those prepared in the day he was created. Also, we're given glimpses of that environment by the uses of certain words used when God begins to deal with his treason. For example, the mountain of God, which is similar to a phrase used in Isaiah 14, talking about the devil, about this whole thing, the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Again, we're not going to deal with Isaiah 14 yet. other examples are the midst of the stones of fire, thy sanctuaries. By reason of these differences of environment between Adam and Eve and Lucifer, it's concluded that the angelic creation was brought about prior to that of humans. All right, so an important point here, and maybe we'll stop with this. Yeah, we should. Lucifer is not on a par with God. Okay. Now, most of us know this. This isn't particularly new for most of you. And that's why after this Ezekiel portion is over, we'll get into some stuff that's definitely new. But in Ezekiel 28, it is clear that he is a created being and not some supernatural rival to God endowed with equal powers. And a whole lot of people, even if you say, well, he was created, they still see him as, you know, anybody remember years ago, there was a guy named Carmen, and he did a song called The Champion. Anybody remember that? And basically the whole thing was about like this boxing match or whatever, wrestling match, and it's like this, all of a sudden, and the devil comes out, and then God, and they're going to fight. folks, if this was really a battle of strength, the devil would have already been defeated, okay? He is not stronger than God. verse 14 reveals that his creation and honor within that created environment was with high privilege. This was Lucifer, was with high privilege and was brought about by God. Again, what he had that brought him up was given by God. He perverted that. It was all God, but he took it to himself. And I mean, has anybody ever done something like this? I have gotten ready to preach and would stand up and I'd be sharing and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God would just hit. And he would be at the same moment showing me Jesus that I was sharing with the people. I mean, it would be like I'm getting to say it at the very moment that I'm seeing it too. And I'm just going, oh, you know, and I saw it when the service is over, I'm going, oh, thank you, Lord. You know, I was struggling there a little bit, but you made me look good. Now, was that his motive? His motive was to glorify the Son. And yet I took it to myself in that kind of a satanic spirit, if you will. All of that was brought about by God. It is declared that he was created perfect, though not infallible. For had he been so, then he would not have sinned. As we know from the Genesis account and substantiated here, he was there in the Garden of Eden along with God and Adam and Eve. Okay, so, all right, we're going to stop here. And I'm going to separate this here. All right. So, I think, I'm not sure, honestly, if I'm going to share this last little bit I have in Ezekiel 28. So, I will just say that either next class, we're going to really get into, here's the title for the next class.
And so the terrible war begins.
Except for, I have to say that tongue in cheek because it's nothing like we think. But that's what we're, that's us. That's, it's beginning. Not the devil. You know, and we need to see the Bible in light of the way that the Lord has told me to share it with you. All right, so let's pray. Father, we just thank you, and we thank you that, Lord, there are things that we are afraid of that you are going to shatter. There are things that we have worried about that really in truth and in light of your heart and your plan, they are nothing. And that only, the only thing that we should concern ourselves with is not the devil or what he can do in the book of Revelation, the end time, or whatever we're in our lives, not the devil, but it is our concern is that you use all these things to conform us to the image of Christ and that they not be enemies as in 2 Corinthians 4. For this light affliction worketh for us a far more eternal weight of glory while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Father, help us to break with the fear and the stories that we've been told and find you in wonderful new ways in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Thank you guys for being with us and get ready for the rest. This terrible war that's about to begin. Amen.